welcome all of you
Cheers.
To show number two today for Sunday night's main event. This is the real Sunday night aspect of it. It's the after party for Hell in a Cell. Was the hell in a cell, or did they put us through the hell, is the decision that we will be making tonight. As you can see, Lavransky's already got a beverage up to his lips. He is ready to go. He is on the Octopus from Great Lakes tonight, which is, that is a stiff beer to be sporting at 11 p.m. on a Sunday night. Did you take tomorrow off work?
No. I am going to work tomorrow, but I've been starved all night. I haven't had a beer during the entire pay-per-view, so I need something that's got a little bit of a kick to it.
That one definitely does. I have to say, it's up as a, you know, it's funny if you read the back of it. They said they wanted to have, like, what was it, an 88 IBU and an 8%.
Yes.
But it's only 6% and yes, less than that in IBUs, and that's why the Octopus is so angry.
Yes, exactly. He wanted more. Yeah.
He wanted more. Did we want more tonight? We surely didn't want anything longer.
No. The length-wise, I didn't think the show was too bad, actually.
Remy came in around 3 hours, went 8 till 11 tonight. Did you watch the pre-show? I know you're starting to skip these things.
No, I watched it.
Huh?
Yep, I watched it.
4 hours and you didn't think it was too long.
Well, the pre-show is too long, of course, with too much tomfoolery. But the show itself, I thought, had a pretty good flow.
Well, you know what there wasn't much of tonight? Is there wasn't much backstage hijinks or anything like that. We did, however, as per the norm with WWE, get a lot of recaps. Every match seemed to have a very, very long recap telling the story. It's like they're really, it's funny, Mouth, because if you think about it, and we talked about this afternoon, about how much less importance the pay-per-views have,
right,
where they're directing more people to television, but yet it seems when you watch the pay-per-view, they don't expect you to watch the television because they recap it all for you.
Yeah, they do that a lot, exactly. And like the preamble for the cage match, we must have saw it about 5 times tonight, it seemed like. So, yeah, maybe they realize that people are starting to not watch Raw and they're just turning in for the pay-per-views. Because, again, if you just watch this standalone outside of the build, it wasn't that bad of a show. It's just, like many of the shows, it didn't have a very good build.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it. Of course, it is the after party. We thank you all who are in the room here for joining us. And what we're going to do is Mouth and I go through. We do our regular rundown that we've been doing for many, many a year on whatever platform we are working on. And then you guys can have your say by raising your hand. If you're using the chat, please flip over your little drop-down menu to panelists and attendees. That means all of us can read your chat, and we might as well start with one of the chats here. It looks like James has asked how he can get Great Lakes beer in Dallas. James, when the borders open, you have to travel to Toronto. That's basically it. They're mainly Ontario-focused, Great Lakes is.
It's good stuff, though. You should be able to buy it in Dallas. It's good beer.
Should get it all over the place.
Yeah.
I'll make you a trade, James. If you can get me, because have you tried the Broken Skull IPA yet, Mouth?
No, I have not.
Me
I
neither.
Have not, actually. Yeah.
And I'm so curious
to
see what that, because you never figure, like Stone Cold, it was always Steve Weiser's, right? Like you'd expect him to have a lager. Yeah.
Expect him to be a craft beer guy or anything, or an IPA, right? No, absolutely. You expect Coors Light or Budweiser.
Yeah.
No, you're right. I'd be curious to see what it's like too. Yeah, absolutely.
I did. When I was in New York last year, I went around to different stores to try to find it, but I couldn't find it. I wanted to bring us all back one, and I wanted to actually drink it on the best and worst of.
Turns
out we had a little pandemic problem that hit, so that didn't happen in person. Anyhow, seems that the whole world is opening on up tonight, though. That's actually relevant because this is the last pay-per-view, Mouth, that there will be no crowd with.
That might have been the best thing about the show, is that the Thunderdome is being put to bed. I, for one, am happy.
Not yet. I mean, for the next pay-per-view, yes. July 16th. So the countdown is on for Lavransky's least favorite thing about wrestling in the pandemic. The Thunderdome is going away.
I'm counting the days.
All right. Well, here we go. We got into this tonight with the pre-show, as we mentioned briefly there. And we did have a match added to the show, which took place on the pre-show. Natalya with Tamina versus Mandy Rose with Dana. A match mouth that stemmed from Natty and Tamina training and breaking the concentration of Mandy and Dana, who were having a photo shoot on Monday Night Raw. So you'd figure... you would figure that since Natty and Tamina are the tag champs, the challenger should win the singles match. Correct mouth for all wrestling logic.
You were going in the exact direction I was thinking. And actually, that was a theme for a lot of the matches tonight, is the finishes, to me, did not make a lot of sense in these matches. But yeah, you're right. It was weird. Natty wins with the sharpshooter. I wrote down exactly what you said. You think Mandy would win and her and Brooke would challenge for the belts. But obviously that's not happening.
Well, Mandy didn't win, Mouth, but I'm pretty sure in WWE logic, they will still be challenging for the titles.
I forgot. You have to lose to get a title shot.
That is how things now work.
And now, outside of that silliness, I thought the match itself actually wasn't that bad. And I thought Mandy looked better to me than I've really seen her look in a match in a while.
I thought it was long. However,
7 minutes. It was only 7 minutes, Jay.
I thought it was like 10.
Oh, no, 7 minutes.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, listen, I will say, though, that this 7-minute match was better than the 2-minute promo that these four did on Monday night, because what you don't want these four doing, aside from maybe Mandy, is speaking.
Well, and why would you have a photo shoot set up right beside a wrestling ring where people are training? Like, to me, the logic was just ridiculous on that.
The pay-per-view intro was very strange tonight.
It was. It was, with the woman's jaw and the old school microphone and stuff. Like, I thought we were going to get a gospel thing or something off the top.
It looked like a female jazz singer with bright red lipstick speaking into an old-fashioned microphone. She was unidentifiable. She was just providing narration. And then as we got out of that, she was talking about, you know, the event tonight, kind of in very broad terms, very poetic. It was then combined with the Ozzy Osbourne theme, you know, just to really combine a couple different musical genres together.
Well, you know, I do like lots of different styles of music for sure, but yeah, that was a bit of a crash there. But hey, man, I mean, I love Ozzy. Good to see him still at it at this age. I mean, I can't believe he can even get up to a microphone at this point.
But, is this a new track?
This is a new album, Jay. He's done a new album. Yeah, this is not one of the retro AC/DCs or Judas Priest or whatever. This is new. No, this is new. This is from a new album he just did.
Now, wasn't he supposed to do an album of duets, but it was delayed due to the pandemic or something like that last year?
It could have been. I wouldn't be surprised him trying to, or Sharon putting something like that together.
Yeah, Sharon doing it.
But But no, he's still at it. I was trying to tell if he was using auto-tune from listening to the song, but I don't think he is.
That's pretty incredible, considering that talking's an issue, but singing? No
exactly.
Problem.
Put him in front of a mic, he's fine.
I mean, I would have to think that this pay-per-view started off with something that Mark Andrade enjoyed, and that was what looked to be, about $100,000 worth of fireworks that blew up to kick off this event for pretty much no reason. Like, why are you doing fireworks in an arena where there's nobody. Fans present?
Yeah.
I get it.
I'm sorry, it's the same as how the wrestlers come out. Like, Charlotte comes out and they pipe in the fake boos and she acts like she's, you know, everybody's really reacting to her. It's kind of silly.
I get it when they go back into having live crowds to really make that a big deal. But here, this was not needed. Michael Cole and Pat McAfee welcome us in, and the SmackDown Women's Championship mouth, as we speculated, they're going to separate the two cells tonight. The first cell match is Bayley versus Bianca Belair. Belair, of course, the champion. You know, I guess I remember distinctly last year when we reviewed Hell in the Cell, and I had a bit of a fit over the fact that it's a Hell in the Cell gimmick. However, there's still so much plunder use. So I had to really take a step back knowing that that was going to happen, because within 2 minutes, Bailey gets chairs from under the ring, and within 5 minutes, they're already using the stairs. My thought, though, is not that, hey, if you're going to use plunder, why are you doing it in a cell? I actually removed myself from that this year. But what I was thinking here, Mouth, is as this match had so much plunder, what are you going to do later?
Bring out even more plunder.
Yes, that is the answer that they went with. Yes,
that's what they did, man. You think this one was bad? The other one was just packed with it. I mean, the opening spot in the title match was Lashley running to get something underneath the rope, underneath the mat. Ridiculous.
I thought in this match they did some very questionable spots. Did you notice Bailey standing on Bianca's hair on the steps, and then Bianca pulled her hair out from under the foot of Bailey, and Bailey was suddenly unable to move until Bianca grabbed her, and the biting spot.
Yeah, there was a lot of weird stuff with the hair, tying the hair to the ropes, tying the hair to the chair. Exactly. The biting stuff with Bailey there at one point. This to me, I watched this. To me, this shouldn't even been in the cell. Would have, and if you were going to put all the plunder in it, why didn't you make it like a street fight or something like that? Or, you know what I mean? Like, watching the match with most of the stuff they did, they didn't really use the cage at all. You know, unlike Lashley and Drew, they really made use of the cage. But these two really didn't even, they did very few spots that involved the cage itself. So for me, I was kind of like, well, why did you even, you know, bother doing it? You know, it was, I didn't.
But think about it,
like we talked about this afternoon, there were better matches if you needed a new cell match to toss in at the last minute than this one, I think.
Yeah, so what you had said is you thought, and I'm not arguing with you about this, you thought that Rhea and Charlotte would have been better suited for the cage if he wanted to do a women's match for the cell. True, but I think the goal was to do one on SmackDown and one on Raw. And I think the reason, Mouth, why these two didn't use the cell that much is because they probably didn't know they were getting into the cell till Friday.
Right, you're absolutely right. They probably had a lot of it already worked out. And yeah, exactly. It didn't include using the cage. So they went with candlesticks and chairs and ladders. In fact, the finish of the match was Bianca doing the kiss of death to Bailey on a ladder. You know, I thought for the girls themselves, I thought they worked good and hard in the match. I thought it was good opening match. I just didn't think it needed to be in the cell. That's all.
Yeah. Well, it didn't, obviously. I thought that one spot that I will point out for the faults that I pointed out earlier, let me balance that out. Bailey recreating the spot she did last year with Sasha, where she was using the kendo sticks taped together and suspending them from the ring to the cage on the outside. Cole is calmly telling people, well, Bailey, she did this last year. If you remember back, Bailey turns to Cole and says, shut up, Michael. Yeah. They know. They watch
they know.
Me. I love that so much when she does that.
Well, and you see, and that's just spur of the moment, right? Obviously, she happened to be in the right spot. She could hear what Cole was actually saying. And she's quick enough to react. It's funny because those are the genuine moments, yet they can't be planned, right? They just really have to happen. And that's why it's also so great, because it happened organically. It wasn't a scripted moment, right?
As Mouth mentioned, Bianca then lands the KOD to Bailey onto the ladder, and that ends the match with a pin. Backstage, Bianca is interviewed saying it was brutal. Bailey kicked her butt and she will never forgive her for that. Did I miss something here?
I thought she said never forget her for that.
Okay. That makes more sense.
Yeah, I think she said Bailey kicked her butt and she would never forget her for that.
Forget. I understand now. Yeah. All right. We then go to Lashley and his ladies in the locker room. MVP's giving him a pep talk. He looks very, very focused. And then Alexa's playground. Lily is serving a timeout. She was naughty. And then Alexa says, be careful what you wish for and expect the unexpected. When you knock on my door, you never know who or what is going to answer. Was it just me, or did you think this opened itself to so many things? This opened itself to a run-in. This opened itself to some possessed doll. And ultimately, when we got there, we didn't see any of that.
Nope. Nope. there was no real surprises that you would kind of, I guess maybe except for the stuff with Reginald and with Nia. But outside of that, we didn't really get a lot of what you'd expect in one of these kind of matches. And thankfully, no one got lit on fire at the end either.
Cesaro versus Seth Rollins is our second match. I couldn't get into this match. I don't care. I don't want to see it again. We talked about the fact that you need a story that leads to a match in order to make it special. Much of tonight's card really felt like watching the television as opposed to watching a pay-per-view. There was nothing special to it. This match was not special. There was something special to this match when we saw it at WrestleMania, and it was built around the swing, and they did the swing, and now they're just rehashing everything, and we don't even get a conclusion at the end of this match because it was a cheap finish, a small package, I guess something that we would see a little bit later on as well.
Once again, this is one of those ones where I went, where the hell did this finish come from? It's just, that was such a weak finish. He's pulling Rollins across the ring to set him up for something, and Rollins just flips him over and rolls him into a package. It's like the ref almost said, okay, we've reached time, you need to pin him now. Like, it was pretty ridiculous. And when he did do the swing, it was incredibly anticlimactic. He didn't even really do it for that long. I thought, okay, pay-per-view match, he's going to give him a major swing here. He didn't even break 20.
But why bother? Why bother when there's no fans in the audience?
Well, I mean,
we've already seen that spot too at WrestleMania. It's all been done.
I'm not arguing any of that. There's no emotional attachment or involvement in here at all. I thought the guys, they worked hard, but like that's the thing. No one really cares because the story building it up is not good. There's no emotional connection to either guy.
There's an ad for Money in the Bank next Sunday, July 19th. It'll be in front of fans, which will be a good thing. Sarah is then with Shayna.
We'll see about that. Wait a second. I bet you there will be tons of fans that will crap on things just as much as fans will cheer for things. Yeah, even though they have not been allowed to be there in person in a long time, you're still going to get fans that are going to crap on things. I suspect it. I think it's going to happen.
Sure, but that's good. I part of the fun in watching that event and watching when they go back is to actually see the reactions of fans. Because, listen, Roman Reigns is going to get cheered huge because he's been so entertaining for the past year, but we haven't really heard those fans chant. So watching the fans is probably going to be more fun than the actual event itself.
I think it's going to backfire in a lot of instances. Everybody thinks, oh, the fans haven't been there for so long, they're just going to cheer. I think they think they're going to cheer everything. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't know if they think they're going to cheer anything, everything, but I think that what WWE believes is the way that they have directed things since they've had control of the fans. Since they've had control of the reactions for a year, they're probably programmed to think that those are the reactions the fans will give them. Wrestling fans don't work like that.
No,
and I think that they are definitely going to get a shock, which I will sit back and completely enjoy that shock when things backfire. That's why it's another level of entertainment for us.
Yes, no, that definitely. It will be very, very interesting.
And it will prevent them doing something stupid with Money in the Bank when they ruined the gimmick last year.
Remember, it was
in Titan Tap. Can't be worse. I mean, I guess it can. Yes, but Otis and Oscar winning and the rooftop and people supposedly but not really dying.
Aleister Black
and Rey Mysterio.
It was really bad, but that's the thing. They're good at topping themselves.
It was my worst pay-per-view of the year last year because I valued that gimmick so much and they completely ruined it with the Otis decision.
Well, we'll see. We will see.
Sarah with Shayna, accompanied by Reginald and Nia. Shayna says Alexa started it, and tonight she's going to end it. Nia says there's nothing wrong with a little luck, and Reggie tries to have Shayna kiss his hand, where she then slaps it away, or vice versa. He tries to kiss Shayna's hand, she slaps it away. Here's the thing.
No, she slapped him in the face. That's what she did.
No.
He kissed her hand, she slapped him in the face.
All right. Well, here's the thing, because I wasn't even focused on that. My takeaway, remember the last time we saw Shayna?
Yeah.
She was in the vignette at the end of Raw, and the lights just went out, and then we never knew what happened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no explanation of
that. Nope. That's okay. You know what? That's so standard. I didn't even think of it, Jay. That's so standard for them. They do that all the time.
Right on brand for WWE. Alexa Bliss versus Shayna. Were you surprised that this match was not cinematic?
No, because we talked about this afternoon. No, I didn't think it needed to be cinematic. And the fact that it only went 7 minutes shows to me it didn't need to be cinematic. It was stupid enough on its own. It didn't need to be cinematic.
Well, I figure it was so bad that it actually could have been better cinematic. I mean, Mark has a phrase where he just says, let's lean in. We'll hear from him in a sec, because I don't think that they leaned in tonight. They played up Alexa as a masochist. She even laughs at the arm stomp. That arm stomp that Shayna does, the one that breaks everybody's arm, yeah. Alexa laughs it off, mouth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, it was... I don't know. It was just kind of basically what I expected, you know, with the dumb stuff with Reggie and her trying to hypnotize Nia and all that kind of stuff with the voodoo. And, you know, I just thought it was I don't like the whole thing. And plus her trying to wrestle somewhat like Wyatt, like her trying to do her weird version of the spider walk there or whatever that was.
That was pretty bad.
Whatever she was trying to do there, that was, you know, and all just the dumb stuff where Reggie won't look at her because he's been hypnotized before. And, you know, the, you know, stuff with Baszler being knocked out and Bliss staring at Nia. She puts her under her spell. She slaps Reggie. She screams at Bliss, who screams back, you know. And the finish, Bliss did the twisted Bliss off the top for the pin. I guess it's the basic idea that Bliss can manipulate you to
hypnotize
get a win.
You. Yeah,
hypnotize you. I don't know. It's pretty weak. I'm not enjoying it in the slightest. And I think it's such a waste. It's such a waste of her to have her with this dumb gimmick.
Perhaps, Dan Lavransky, the diversion of the eyes was an ode to Raiders of the Lost Ark that celebrated its 40th anniversary last week because Indy diverted his eyes and told Marion to divert her eyes when the Ark was opened so their faces didn't melt.
Whatever you need to believe, okay, Jay, to make it work is fine with me.
Here is the most interesting match on the card for all the wrong reasons, and it's Sami Zayn versus Kevin Owens. And this whole thing revolved around the fact that full-on Kevin Owens was legitimately injured. This was there's no way that this was selling. This was an injury that happened. Sammy went for a somersault dive over the top rope, and Kevin Owens immediately grabbed his shoulder, jumped up, and ran away from Sammy. Sammy looked confused.
Yeah.
But I could not believe that he just kept going. Like, that shoulder and that arm was useless. I haven't seen an arm dangle and be this useless since, what was it, Christopher Daniels, when he was dressed as a conquistador.
Remember that?
And he lost complete control of his arm.
Yes, yes.
This was nuts.
Yeah, yeah, it was. But that doesn't surprise me. Owens is that type of guy that he would just, even though he gets that, that happens fairly early in the match.
Yeah, oh yeah.
He just lets it, you know, he just carries on, you know, they all kinds of stuff. He did a senton to Sammy on the floor, for God's sake. And Sammy put his knees up.
Yeah.
You know, like Sammy gave him the blue thunder bomb at one point. Owens gave him the stunner on the outside with Zayn barely getting back in. And then Sammy got the haluva kick and the pin. Sammy was ecstatic. His karma promo came true. Karma worked in his way. He got the win. I don't even know if anything comes out of this. Does this continue, or is this it for this chapter of the feud, and then we let it sit for another year and bring them back? Whoops, bring them back next year.
Sorry. Well, here's what I'm trying to figure out: was this the finish, the actual finish?
Yeah,
an audible called due to Kevin Owens' injury. And, like, was Kev supposed to go over here, or was Sammy actually supposed to go over? If Sammy was supposed to go over, then was it the same way? I get the feeling that this was the finish and Owens made it through the match. Simply because instead of completely playing up the injury, which, by the way, Michael Cole just seemed like a complete idiot saying, oh, his wrist is hurt. His wrist.
He kept going on about the wrist. I don't know.
What's wrong with his damn wrist? He's holding his wrist because his shoulder is dislocated. Yeah. Something went on up in his shoulder and his whole arm didn't work. It has nothing to do with the wrist, you idiot. So But what they kept doing, though, Mouth, if you notice, is they kept playing up the throat. And that was the storyline coming into the match.
Yes, right.
Of the stuff on
SmackDown.
The, something,
the general, whatever, the general
Aziz
there.
He's hitting him in the throat.
Yeah.
So I feel as though this was the actual finish.
Yep.
It wasn't an audible. And yeah, I mean, I don't know where it goes from here. These guys are thrown back together because they're both lost.
That's right. There's no other program for either guy at this time. There really hasn't been much for Sammy for quite a while. Actually, for Owens either, really. Both guys have kind of been floundering for quite a while. So I can kind of see why they throw them together, because they do work well together. But with this finish, I would assume things have to carry on. With Sammy getting the win, I would think things are going to carry on. So I would say it's going to keep going if Owens is okay to go. We'll see what happens with the shoulder. It might be the end of the feud because of his shoulder.
Oh, I could see him being out for a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things with this match. I was not interested for the right reasons. I was interested with morbid curiosity here as to how is Kevin Owens going to make it through this match when his arm doesn't work. And these two guys, very good friends, have worked together so much. How are they communicating here? You know, it's really kind of the underlying story that is existing in this match for all the wrong reasons that I was absolutely fascinated by. I rewound it. I rewatched the all three times to see how it was going through. Like, it's just, you know, you watch so much wrestling, and when something goes wrong, it is kind of fascinating to see how these performers improvise and deal with it.
Yeah, and again, if it's going to happen to two guys, it couldn't happen to two better guys, because they are so familiar with each other, and they would be able to work together with each other to at least get through it. Yeah.
The Raw Women's Championship is next. It's Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley, the semi-main tonight. Charlotte comes out extremely aggressive, attacking Rhea by grabbing the belt away from the ref before the match even begins. And we have Anne hitting her with it, and then a quick takedown right after the belt. Charlotte, to me, Mouth, felt like the aggressor pretty much, not the entire match, but a good portion of the match. It found like Charlotte was the aggressor, which led Rhea to cheat and get DQ'd. These two are both heels.
Yeah, well, that was a problem going into it, right? I mean, again, like I said, most of these guys all worked hard, and then they were labeled with these terrible finishes. I hated this finish. This was the worst finish you could do in this match. To me, this does not help either one of these girls. To me, Rhea needed to look strong coming out of this. If you were worried about something like this, and this is obviously done so they can continue the feud without Pin and Charlotte, why couldn't you have done something along the lines where it's a controversial pin and Charlotte as the heel can come as the obnoxious heel and go, well, look, yeah, you pinned me, but I had the ropes and the ref didn't see it, or something along those lines, so we could keep it going rather than this, a count out?
DQ.
Oh, well, still, though, it was just for brawling outside the ring?
No, No. All of a sudden, they're outside. Rhea pulled the top of the announcer desk off. She grazes Charlotte with it, and the ref called for a DQ.
Oh, you're kidding me. That's the DQ?
That's the DQ.
In this world that we live in, that's the DQ.
That is correct.
In matches where we have seen guys go through the tables five times in the match with no problem at all.
I'm confirming.
That was the DQ?
That is the DQ.
I thought it was count out, and I thought, okay, that's pretty lame. This is really lame. This is even worse. That's terrible. I can't believe that. That's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah, I don't know why you couldn't have given Rhea a controversial win, or Charlotte a controversial win. Something. This, to me, helps neither one of them and doesn't really exactly get me interested in seeing what happens next.
Well, I have a suspicion. I feel as though they have actively pushed both of these two to being a heel, because there's a babyface returning. And
Becky.
There, you got it. And
Becky.
They will establish Becky as the hero to come back in and thwart both of these heels.
Oh, so what? So Becky wins the title from them in a three-way?
Something like that. I wouldn't be surprised. And then she pins one of them, and the other one continues on with the feud.
Right. So Becky will come back, she'll pin Rhea, and then we'll be stuck with Becky and Charlotte again.
As we talked about, like, you know, there's I have intrigue with Becky and Rhea, because I haven't seen it and it's fresh, and I don't But ultimately, they're going to go back to Charlotte. However, what I feel as though they're going to do, because haven't they done this before where they shoehorn Charlotte into the Ronda Rousey, Becky Lynch feud?
That's right.
So now we're going to, once again, always integrating Charlotte into everything. So instead of allowing Becky and Ronda, instead of allowing now Rhea and Becky, they're putting Charlotte in there. And now we have these two established as heels and Becky the babyface returning. My question is, though, and I want to throw this out to you guys in the chat here, and when you give me your feedback, I'm curious, you know, I want to know who you think is going to win each one of the Money in the Banks. And we were talking about this on the afternoon show today. Is it Becky? Like, is that her return to come back in and say, and then go, listen, I don't just want to challenge you. I want to challenge you as well, because we got old business together, and boom, do the honest way of the John Cena challenge for SummerSlam. Maybe.
Yeah, I could see something happening. I do think it's going to be a three-way, though. I think that they're going to keep Rhea and Charlotte together. And like you say, Becky's going to come back, and it's going to be all three of them in the match. She's not going to pick one or the other, when really she should just feud with Rhea. And like you said, have a fresh matchup and let Charlotte do something else.
Match number six, the main event of the night. It's Hell in a Cell once again. Drew McIntyre going in versus Bobby Lashley. There's an extra stipulation layered on top of this. This is Drew's last chance to challenge for the title as long as Lashley is the champ. Well, within 3 minutes' mouth, Drew tries to use the stairs, but is thwarted by Lashley the first time, but he does use them a few times successfully. And really, that was the story of the match. A whole bunch of plunder.
It
and
was.
These guys, like, their bodies, mouth.
Yes.
Their bodies.
Oh, did you see Drew's back? Did you see his back from those kendo stick shots? Yeah. Holy cow, it was raw.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, these guys, you can't fault the work. No. These guys worked super hard. Maybe not super safe, but they worked super hard. And they did everything. Yeah, stairs, chairs, table against the fence. Lashley used MVP's cane, for God's sake. Fred Blassie smiled somewhere. Drew did a Samoan drop on the steps, you know? Like, and they really did just throw each other around. I really like the way they made it look brutal. Like, they really made it look like a fight. I thought that was really good. But it went on for a long time. It was like 25, 26 minutes here. And they just did so much stuff. There were so many Claymore kicks. There were so many attempts to get the Hurt Lock on. There were so many chair shots. You know, Lashley choke slams Drew off the apron through a table at one point. When they finally get back in there, Drew gets the Future Shock DDT, and then he was going to give him another Claymore. And then here, another lame finish. MVP grabs his foot. Lashley manages to jump on top of him and pin him. Another completely weak finish in a match. You know, that was, this makes me so mad, man, because I hate it when people that aren't involved in the match get in the frickin' cage. Mm-hmm. What was MVP doing in the cage? I'm just like, the cage is to keep the guys out, and the finish involves someone who shouldn't have been in the cage. That, again, everybody works so hard at these matches, and they gave them all shit finishes. Like, this, unbelievable. This was the show of the shit finishes. That's what it was. It's like, you know, everyone worked hard and then really dumb. Like, after 25 intense minutes, that's your finish, a roll-up.
Yeah,
come on.
I agree with you. Oh, as you can see, Mark said that he has a graphic up here, and tonight's event was brought to you by Fruit Roll-Ups, because that's the finish of so many of the matches. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, it was a weird show. I mean, I thought most of the in-ring was really good, but I have no emotional involvement in any of it. And then they gave poor finishes that made me just angry most of the time. So, like we said on this afternoon, Jay, sometimes these shows have had bad builds and then the show surprises us. Not this time.
Not this time.
No, not this time. Not. This time failed big time.
This one was very much a struggle for me. I mean, it's unfair for me to really judge it. I've been up since 3:30 in the morning because I did a morning show this morning. So this was going to take a lot to get me into it. And I will say the final match, especially towards maybe the last 10 minutes or so when things went really bananas, when these guys are trading, they did have me biting. I mean, Drew beating the crap out of Lashley with the chair and then missing the Claymore when Lashley ducked. I thought the finish was coming there.
Right. Right.
Drew being dropped on the outside of the table. I thought maybe that that would be the finish. And setting up Lashley for the spear, but missing. Drew hitting the headbutt. Like, all of these sequences at the end, once we got there, they had me biting back in. But listen, previous to that, I had a hard time getting through this show tonight. I was dozy, dozy, dozy. Part of that is definitely my schedule. But part of it was, as you said, you're someone who is more apt to enjoy the match without the storyline. Sure. Yeah. I completely write it off. I've always said I'm a storyline guy. And so much of this has been there, done that. Like, you can't even look at any of these matches and say that they wouldn't show up on a regular weekly TV show, because we saw Hell in a Cell this past week.
Yeah, right. And, you know, look at the finish to the main event with MVP interfering. That feud's continuing. Those guys are having another match. They will be fighting again.
He can't challenge for the title, though.
Oh, no. You know what? I have a feeling they're going to do that storyline where he goes to Adam Price or one of them and gets Pierce or Sonya or one of them and gets it turned around or something like that so he can have one more chance. They don't honor stipulations.
I don't think that is the way this is going to go. I think the stipulation, because it was put in place that he can't wrestle MVP for the title can't wrestle Lashley for the title, I think that that allows them an out clause of now Drew can mess with Lashley to lose the title. They can very well end up doing a match again, but I think it will be after he loses the title. And then once he does lose the title, Drew will be able to have another title shot. This isn't a Cody Rhodes thing where it was an absolute and utter more title shots.
Right. No. This is just until champion. Yeah, it's just until Lashley loses the title. Well, regardless, this feud will continue and it's not a feud that needs to continue.
No, I'm done.
Going into this, I'd had enough in terms of I'm just not interested in the two guys.
So someone wrote on the message board, and I didn't double check this. I think aside from the opening match on the pre-show, every other match was a rematch from this year's WrestleMania or last year's WrestleMania.
Yep.
What does that say?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not good.
Even Backlash.
Yeah, yep, it's not good. Well, it's like we always say, they've got, 9 million hours of TV to fill. That's what happens, man. You just get stuff over and over and over again. Look at this here. Someone's saying, Drew wins Money in the Bank. He gets back in the picture.
So that is going to be a question that I want to throw at all of you guys and gals that are in the room here. Who do you think does win Money in the Bank? That is the next pay-per-view. They advertised it tonight, I believe it was the 17th.
Yeah, they did. June 19th or July 19th.
There you go. So July 19th. So what do you think? Who wins Money in the Bank on both sides of things, the men's and the women's? Mark Andrade, please stop suggesting Otis again. Mark, please flip yourself, your camera on here so we can get your thoughts on tonight's show as well. And for those of you who do want to chime in, feedback is open. All you got to do is raise your hand, click the icon to raise your hand, and Mark will be bringing you up. But Mark, you can have your say first. I got to figure, Mark, that you were pretty disappointed tonight, because one thing they didn't do is they didn't lean in on your favorite storyline. I'd actually be inclined to say that it would have been better as a cinematic match tonight.
Yeah, I agree. A cinematic match would have been nice. Does it need it? I mean, Dan, respectfully, I disagree. Was it stupid enough on its own? I don't know if it was. I think it could have been way stupider. Yeah, we could have gone way stupider with that. That was just a regular match with a little bit of like Hypno-Naya in the middle of it. Yeah. I don't know. And that crab crawl she does doesn't, it's, I think about like, when The Undertaker first showed up, which I really is the high bar, those matches were, in terms of a match, he didn't sell. He felt like a monster. He felt special. Nothing feels particularly special about this. She's just kind of there.
Well, the thing that's weird about it is it seems almost completely divorced from Bray Wyatt now, except for, the music and the graphics. I mean, really, she should almost be doing her own kind of different things, not trying to imitate Wyatt, right?
I agree. Where's Wyatt?
Yeah.
he was supposed to be reborn.
I keep thinking he's going to show up during one of these, right? And he's not.
But it's, they're not even aligned anymore, right? Like
they're not together.
Mm.
Alexa turned on him at WrestleMania.
I mean, she should have a completely different look then. If she's not aligned with him, why is she still using the music and the graphics?
It's baffling. The whole thing's baffling. I will launch a poll so that our friends can have their say on what match of the night was. Natalya versus Mandy, Bianca versus Bayley, Seth versus Cesaro, Alexa versus Shayna, Sammy versus Kevin Owens, Charlotte versus Rhea Ripley, Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre. I'm just letting the poll happen right now, and we'll resolve it.
Sounds good. It's already in. That was fast. Yeah, everybody voted. And 60%, it's 60-40. 60% Bobby Lashley and Drew McIntyre, 40% Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. And Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, that's just got to be for all the wrong reasons right there, because that match got completely... that match was tossed off the rails, but due to how great those two are together, stayed right on the rails.
Yes, yep, they kept it together.
Yeah, and literally zero votes for anything else.
Yeah. Zero votes for anything else.
I'm surprised.
The finishes, every single match had a really poor finish, except for maybe the Owens and Zayn, because that looks like probably what they wanted to do. The rest, the finishes were so weak tonight. Like, it wrecked every single match.
Yeah, you're right. The finish was bad, but I didn't mind the Seth Rollins-Cesaro match until the end there.
Well, that's it. It was they were working hard, and then they give them, that's your finish? A roll-up out of nowhere? Like, it's so weak.
There's significantly less interest in this show tonight than normal. I know I've noticed it two places here, at least from our audience there is. There were less people commenting on the Facebook board in the chat, and along with that, there's less people here in this room tonight. There's only about 60% of the people that we normally have. About two-thirds of the people that we normally have in this room. I just don't think people were bothering. Mm-hmm. I mean, one of the bigger draws is that Roman Reigns character. And as much as we didn't want to see Dominic and Rey and Father's Day and whatever the hell they were going to do there, ultimately, that was the main event that they pulled off this card tonight.
Yeah, that's really, when you think about it, it is really bizarre. They did. They took, that was the match that had the focus, the match people wanted to see the most. And yeah, they took it off and put it on the TV. And for whatever reason, I know you and I speculated a lot this afternoon trying to figure out what the reasoning was for that. But yeah, it literally, I'm sure it took a lot of interest away from the show, because it really was kind of a one-match show, and they took away the one match.
Someone just, so it was Bethany just wrote up, I didn't watch 1 second of the pay-per-view. I'm just here for the chat.
Wow. Well, there you go.
We watch things so you don't have friends.
You're probably glad you didn't watch it now.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. Nice to see you. I don't even think that there would be something to go say, hey, go back and watch this. Like, if you don't watch
you could
this
watch,
show tonight.
You could watch all the matches, but you have to skip the finishes.
Just watch the last one.
Once it gets to the last minute, you have to stop and go to the next match, because the finishes were terrible.
And the finishes probably don't matter aside from it. I would say go back. If you want to see, again, two performers work things out when things are going drastically wrong, you can watch this Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens match as a credit to the ridiculous toughness of Kevin Owens.
Right.
How these two somehow got through this match, which is unbelievable, because ultimately it probably should have been stopped.
There's someone else here saying they have Peacock and they didn't even watch it.
How about
that? Wow.
Well, Mark, you couldn't even get the network going tonight, right?
Yeah, it was unreal. What an infuriating thing to pay for this network. I log in on my computer through Rogers, and then I had so much trouble just getting it to work. And then anytime I tried to stream it to my Apple TV, it cacked out. So I ended up watching a pirated stream.
Oh.
Yeah. Which worked perfectly. I mean, come on.
Right, yeah, that's bad. That's bad.
I pay for this thing.
Yeah, that's bad.
Unreal.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on tonight, Mark? Anything that you watched that stuck out to you? How did your eyes stay open?
My eyes stayed open, but it was a bit of a fight.
It was a tough one. Yeah. It was a tough one. Yeah. It just felt like another TV show. Nothing special about it. All right. Well, here is the deal. Oh, Gaskin says that he's also been having trouble logging in through his Xbox. I think part of this might be, I haven't had any trouble logging in, but I have it directly to like my TV. I'm one of the few people who still pays for cable. So it comes in pretty clear that way. And I haven't actually used it via the login online. But Mouth, you did.
Yes.
Did you have any issues tonight?
I had no problems at all. Mine worked absolutely great, unfortunately, from start to finish. Unfortunately. I was hoping it would crap out during the finish stuff, but no.
All right, if you have something to say, please raise your hand and Mark will pop you up into the chat there. You don't have to turn your cameras on if you don't want to. No problem. You can if you like. But what we will do is be able to hear you so you can ask your questions or make your comments or, hey, make your Money in the Bank predictions as well. I wouldn't mind hearing those. So, Mark, where should we go to first? Well,
you just said his name, Chris Gaskin.
Gaskin is back. Gaskin, flick on the microphone and let us know what you thought of all of these wonderful matches and great finishes tonight.
You know, finishes aside, I actually thought the show itself was okay for what it was. Like the in-ring work was perfectly fine. I did actually really enjoy the women's Hell in a Cell match. As far as in-ring work, it wasn't the greatest, but they had some very creative spots. And I thought it also had a very strong finish with Bianca hitting her finish on Bayley on the ladder. Like that look,
that's a good point.
That looked brutal.
Yeah.
I mean, Seth Rollins Cesaro was Seth Rollins Cesaro, and I don't care about Rollins at all, but they're really good together. You know, the Alexa Bliss Shayna Baszler match was not what I expected, which I think was slightly better than what I thought it was going to be.
Was it?
I thought it was going to be completely hot garbage and it was just garbage. So,
okay. But I'm almost at the point where I've turned on this product so much. Like, if you're going to do something bad, then do it really, really bad.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a very good point. I think I was just pleasantly surprised with the fact that they went with a match. You know, all of the hocus pocus stuff I could do without. I really can. I think this character's awful. I hate that they went in this direction with her.
Yeah.
It really ruins how great this woman is for this company.
Yeah, it's a waste of her talent for sure, man. She should not be subjected to this stupidity.
It's just so shocking, though, because we've already seen this outright fail.
Yes,
with
exactly.
Bray Wyatt, and
exactly.
We're rehashing
100%
failure.
Yes. And not even doing anything to make it look different. Like, no. If you want to try and do this thing, give it a new coat of paint, at least dress her differently, divorce her from Bray Wyatt. Like, do something. No, you're saddling it with the stuff that made it fail the first time. It's horrible.
It's mind-boggling. And it's not only a waste of her talent, it's a waste of Shayna Baszler's talent.
Oh, man, you're telling me.
Big time.
Yeah, big time. I got to see her live. Right before they actually pushed her up to the main card. It's like, she's so good. That woman is incredible and just a complete waste of her talent, throwing her with Nia Jax for the past while as well. You know, I thought Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, you know, it by far wasn't their best match by any stretch of the imagination, but you guys are right. They're good together and, you know, it at least made it okay. I did not like the finish to Charlotte and Rhea, but man, I really thought, aside from the finish of Bobby Lashley, Drew McIntyre, I am 100% with you guys. I saw that finish and I went, that is garbage, especially with like the last 10 minutes of that match was just so awesome to end that way. I was mad at the ending, but I honestly thought the work throughout the show was quite good. And I do understand what you guys mean by it feeling like it's just, you know, a regular TV show. It didn't come across as anything special, but as far as the show goes, I thought it was okay. You know,
it's so different now because we all have the network.
Yeah.
We're not paying for it anymore. Like I would be So, I mean, I'm just numb to WWE doing these, but if this was AEW and I dropped $50 or more for this, I'd be furious.
Yes. You know what? Yeah. Yes. Okay. I stand corrected. I 100% stand corrected. I would be so mad. But I mean, on the flip side, so like I had mentioned, I was having problems logging in through my Xbox. I think it might be due to their browser on the console, which is why I was having problems. I ended up just walking upstairs, grabbing my computer and hauling it down to the television to watch it. But I think for me, probably the bar was so low that the fact that it was just better than my expectations is I walked out going like, okay.
Well, we didn't even hit that tonight, and we have seen that before. Thanks, Gaskin. Thanks for not staying up that late. He's out on the West Coast. He says, it's got to be nice. I was talking about that today. You know, it's got to be nice when you're out on the West Coast.
Right.
Till 8, you still have a night afterwards.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's almost midnight here, but not as bad as, you know, if you're watching UFC, it even goes later. Or for our friends, the East Coast dads, who are, an hour and a half later, I think, than us, which is bananas. All right, Mark, let's head to... our next Zoomer, Matthew Smith, is up here. Matthew, what are you saying about tonight's show?
He's probably upset that Shane wasn't on it.
Well, now that you mention it, Dan, I wasn't going to bring it up, but I'm glad you did. Oh, there we go. Look at that. That's an awesome picture there. Well, I don't know what to say about it. The show happened. It existed. You know, it's over. I'm never going to go back and think about it again.
Yeah.
Go back to watch it again.
Nope.
It's over and done with. I watched it with my lady friend tonight, and it's kind of interesting getting her perspective on it, because I don't know if I can call her a casual fan, because she basically just watches the pay-per-views with me, mostly under duress, but she watches them with me. And she has even recognized the matches, saying, haven't we seen this before? Haven't we seen this before?
Wow. Casual fans are recognizing the repetitive nature of the show.
The low casual fan, and like me explaining the storylines and her just following along kind of, and just, you know, listening to me gab on about wrestling all day, she knew the outcome of the matches. She knew what's-her-face was going to win. Bianca Belair was going to win. Right. She wasn't sure about the main event. And all the other matches were basically very predictable to her. And she's been watching wrestling and following for a few months. So, you know, what incentive is there to keep the longtime fans like us keep watching? You know, if someone who follows the product, you know, that, you know, doesn't want to follow the product like her, can figure out what's going on, you know, what's in it for us? Why are we going to keep watching it? Glutton for punishments, I guess.
That's what we are. It's an abusive relationship that we're in. I hope your other relationship is better than your one with wrestling.
yeah, so far, so good.
Thank you, Matthew. Appreciate it. Who's winning Money in the Bank this year on both sides, Matt?
Oh, I don't know. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
Well, ask your lady friend who's winning, because apparently she's
making these things. Let's see her.
I don't think she was aware of last year's Money in the Bank, but well, I don't know. I think maybe it will be Drew McIntyre. That'll be his way to get back to the top. Like, who else do they have that they're going to elevate?
Where the hell is Damian Priest at?
Oh, I don't know. He's practicing his archery somewhere.
It's ridiculous. Yep,
disappeared.
He's gone. I don't know.
Here's the thing. So thanks, Matthew. I mean, I think one of the things that is positive, the fact that Bronson Reed and, dare I say, even Karrion Kross getting these matches, dark matches on SmackDown, and considering being brought up, they need to refresh this, right? Tonight, Pat McAfee cut a promo on Adam Cole because that match is nominated for some sort of award, right? So if you get stuff like that is moving its way up to the Raw and SmackDown, then maybe we get some fresh stuff. Keith Lee's name was just thrown up by Gaskin as well. Like, hey, where are these guys?
Yeah.
Why do we keep seeing the same people? If you're going to inject some new blood into NXT, we got the Diamond Mine coming up, and we've got whatever the cell phone thing is coming up. Move people around, move Joe down. That was a great refresher. Finn Balor is someone that you can put in onto Raw or SmackDown as well. I mean, who's next for Bobby Lashley now that Drew McIntyre is gone? I'll bet that this could very well be Finn's spot.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't know if they're ready to bring him back yet or not.
He's disappeared, Mouth.
That's true.
He's gone for the past 3 weeks.
We haven't seen him since the title match. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah. Yeah, perhaps they're thinking that way. I mean, definitely Keith Lee is one for me. I would love to know what is going on with there. I don't know if it's health-oriented or what, but he's someone that I was, you know, definitely wanted to see on the main roster. And, yeah, just gone. Don't know where he is.
Gaskin says Cesaro to win Money in the Bank, and he'd love to see Eva Marie, meaning Piper Niven, which is going to be what, Doudrop? Doudrop is going to be your name as of tomorrow.
You're kidding.
Doudrop? I believe so. I believe that's what I had in the news pack today. Yeah, Doudrop.
Wow. That's horrible.
So that is what Gaskin is saying. Doudrop / Piper Niven wins, but Eva Marie takes credit for it.
Yeah, that looks exactly the way they're going with that, because, I mean, they declared Eva Marie the winner of the match this week after she wrestled in her place. So that looks like what they're doing.
I don't foresee that being the winner of Money in the Bank, though. I think that, I don't necessarily know if it's Becky, because what you could do is you could easily just re-debut Becky and put
you
her
don't need
into
her
that Rhea Ripley Charlotte program.
Yeah.
And then you can allow Money in the Bank to be used for the next challenger for Bianca Belair. And honestly, I don't really know who that is. I was kind of hoping that we would see Io Shirai up on Raw or SmackDown soon, but Io's back in NXT.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Yeah. Good question. Yeah, I have no idea. I have no idea. It's weird.
All right. Mark, do we have anybody else? Or are we wrapping all of this up here? What are you saying?
I think everybody's asleep.
Everybody's asleep? Well, you know what? That's very valid considering what we watched tonight. That is, completely valid. All right, guys. So we are going to wrap things up. If you haven't heard it yet, Mouth and I did a show this afternoon. Mark and I will be back on Tuesday to do the midweek Marco. Mouth, when is Dynamite on this week? I never know.
It's Saturday. This is the big Saturday.
Oh, this is Jungle Boy.
One. That's right.
Oh,
that's right.
Shit. Yeah.
So Joe and I will watch it Saturday night, and we'll do a podcast right after the show finishes on Saturday night. Okay. And give you the rundown. And then the next week, June 30th, it goes back to Wednesday nights.
And maybe it stays there. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Moving off TNT is going to be very good for them. I can't believe they're doing a Saturday night Dynamite. Like, what a mess. This is, talk about breaking the momentum that they had.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the problem, right? When you have these other issues with other sporting events that they want to show, and it messes up the schedule. And yeah, especially for this one where they're going to, you know, they've really been putting the push on this title match with Jungle Boy and Omega. It's the biggest TV they've had in a while. So yeah, it is unfortunate because they're getting killed on the Friday night spots. No one, you know, the ratings, the amount of viewers is dropping almost by half because it's just such a bad spot. And I don't, you know, with the pandemic kind of starting to ease and people getting more chances to go outside and do stuff, it's summertime as well.
Yeah.
You know, it's this, unfortunately, it's a big show, but I don't know how well it's going to do because it really is in a tough spot. I don't think it's on super late. I think it's on at like 8 o'clock. It's not in the 10 o'clock spot, but yeah, exactly. It's Saturday night in summer at the end of a pandemic. Think about it.
How the hell am I going to watch? I record the show Sunday afternoon and I do a trivia show. Like, I'm going to have to get up at 5 in the morning, watch wrestling, go to the trivia show, and then record this show. I hate the fact that we're going to start having two shows on Friday nights.
Right. Yeah.
As
yeah.
Well. That is going to be awful.
Yeah, it's not the best. It's not the best spot for them either.
No.
But, you know,
all right.
That's the problem.
Leave it on that negative note there. That's what we do.
Jay, right, get some sleep. Bethany says, Jay, get some sleep.
Yeah, I'll do that now. Finally, I get my reset tomorrow. Everyone else is going to work, and I get a day off tomorrow. Made it through, everybody.
All right,
hey,
good
thank
for you.
You guys for joining us tonight. Thanks, all of you, for listening on the podcast version as well. If you did want to take part in what you're listening to right now, this I'm specifically talking to the freeloaders, all you got to do is sign up for the Patreon, and then you can be on here with us afterwards asking your questions and seeing all of Mark's fun graphics as he now sits in the eyes of Bobby Lashley and is reflected in his glasses. We shall talk to you on Tuesday. Mouth and them will talk to you on Sunday. I will talk to you on Sunday again. All of that good stuff is to come for all of you patrons. So as I always like to say, and Billy Red always like to say, don't you dare miss it.
Brother!